This is a visit to Mr. Eastman. This Saturday afternoon, the 19th of December, 1970. Saturday afternoon, Channel 1 over, and the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of December, 1970. Saturday afternoon, December the 19th, 1970. Channel 1 over. Beginning of Channel 1 over and the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, 19th of December, 1970. Channel 1 over. And beginning of the visit with Mr. Eastman this Saturday afternoon, the 19th of December, 1970. Channel 1 over. And Mr. Eastman.
Well, you know, you're not supposed to have a regular job. You just... That takes you...
Monty Harlan down there started in a month ago. She had two fellas come down from South Carolina. And they went right in that cabin next to where she is. And it was just a... cement block cab, you know, and then painted on the inside of the box. Well, they went right in and tore the casings all off and threw the doors out in the same way with the windows. And tore everything right out of that cabin. You seen it, it's what they call a double sleeping cabin. There's one big room in there that's, I think it's 16 by 30. And then there's two beds in there. See, it's a double sleeping room. Well, then there's a clothes closet and a toilet. Well, then on the other side, it's split in two. That 30 is, see, it makes two rooms, a kitchenette and a sleeping room. And then there's another bathroom, that and a clothes closet there.
Gosh, that's a lot of space.
Well, we had to change all the wiring and change the plumbing in there and everything. Well, geez, you know, it kept me busy trying to keep ahead of them other fellas, see? And they went in there, and of course, you take a block house, you know, you got to strip it, see? Put them cleats on to nail your paneling on.
Yeah.
Well, when I put the paneling on, I always put my cleats 16 inches apart. That's three of them in 4 feet.
Oh, yeah.
See? Well, they went in there, and they only put them 2 feet apart. Then they just put the strips up and down. They didn't put nothing to the top or nothing through the middle or nothing on the bottom.
Oh.
And Jesus, you can go in there, you know, and push them goddamn strips, you know. And I showed it to Monty and West. See, West is from South Carolina there, and he's backing her up on that stuff. And West grabbed me by the shoulder, and he said, "That ain't your work." See? I says, "All right." But you know, Jesus, I hate to see a good job. You know, it's a nice looking job to look at it. But Jesus, somebody fall up against it, they go right back in, don't you? I don't like that at all. And then.
And he's your friend.
After they went, yeah. And after they went, I had to put the carpet in all the way through. And I had to put quarter round, see, around the new mop boards there. Jesus, some of them didn't add nothing in back of them to nail to. When I went to nail the quarter round, there's one corner over there where I can show you that the doggone thing is right back in just like that, and there's that hole right in the corner. I left it, too. But Jesus, that's the way they wanted things put together. That's the way I put it. Well, then after they got done and quit, Jeezer, I've been working down there for about 10 days alone, finishing up what they didn't do. See, there's a lot of painting and one thing and another in there, and they put all them new cupboards in. And we put in a new sink and everything in there, and there's all of that to paint. And now I still haven't got done down there. I got another day anyway, and maybe 2 days down there yet. Because there's a lot of work in the bathroom that's got to be done yet, and one of them. They put new plasterboard on the ceiling, but Jesus, that's got to have them. There's a hole up in there, and so it's got to have a wide molding put on. I don't like to put such a wide molding on them places. I like to have my stuff come together so that a narrow molding looks so much nicer, you know.
Well, Mr. Eastman, how'd you get hooked into that? Now, whose place is it?
Well, they call it the Ranch Motel.
Yeah, yeah.
And Monty Harlan owns it.
Monty Harlan. Now, you've known him.
Him? It's a her.
Oh, that's her.
She's an old maid. See, and hell, that man West there, he run there for years with her, you know. Sure, she was up there in South Carolina, and she was a manager of a Woolworth's 10-cent store. And she got after old West. Jesus and his wife got onto it, and she raised Mary Hell, so West got her down here in Orange Lake and bought that motel and put her in there. See, well, now she's claims that she's got him all paid back. I don't know. But he brought these fellows down there, and, you know, I hated it. I done wrong. They didn't have any remodeling building permit to do that job, and them fellas didn't have no occupational license, see? Jesus, I hated to turn them in. On the other hand, I should have done it. And you know, I've had a hell of a cold for about going on 3 months.
Choked up last time you was up here.
And the other day, I had to put a new roof on the house, and then I was up there nailing the shingles on, and all at once the wind began to blow, you know, and it felt kind of rainy-like, and one thing and another. But you know, the first thing I knew, geez, I couldn't talk. I couldn't say nothing. You know, the doctor up home, there was an old school teacher come in there one night in the doctor's office, and they were 15, 20 of us in the waiting room there, waiting to see the doctor, you know, and all at once he opened the door to let her out. He said, you know, the worst thing can happen to a woman is to have her lose her voice. Well, say, if she didn't bawl him out, you know, she called him everything. The doc stood there and he just laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, by God, I knew I could make you talk. Well, you know, that's the way with me. When I lost my voice, it was a hell of a thing.
Mr. Eastman, West is the fella that got you by the shoulder and said that wasn't your job.
Yeah, he brought them fellas down here, see?
Oh.
Yeah, he brought them fellas down here.
Well, don't he know how to...
Jesus, now he's been in the lumber business and the building business for years, but then go and do such a kind of dang job as that.
Jesus.
And the top of it up there, you know, they got the molding around the top of that light hat. And I was putting some other work. I was hanging some light fixtures and one thing enough. You can reach right over. There's nothing in back. I mean, you know, you push the damn stuff right in there. You see that 3/4 inch. Right in between where them things are. See, there ain't nothing around, you know, to nail that too. And then they took and nailed it up. So to nail it into the cleat up above where they had tack the plasterboard on to.
That's a big job you took on.
Jesus. I didn't know that I was getting in such a big one when I got in it.
Oh, you didn't? They don't tell you just...
And now, you know, she's got some... Why, there's so darn much other stuff down there. They had me... No, not, that's enough.
Give him a little thing.
It's good for your cold.
If he don't drink it, let it stand there.
Throw it out the window if you don't want it.
And now... Geez, I got some window lights to put in. I don't know what all I have yet. Got that molding to put around there, and I got a little bit more on. I had to put a new soil pipe in and on the plumbing there, and put a little bit on that yet on the vent of that to do. And then Freddie Bartell down there at the laundrette. I had to put in a new washing machine down there when them old big ones cost $1,500 and some odd for one washing machine. It's one of them old big ones with a extractor to it. An extractor, you know, it pretty near dries the clothes by speed.
Oh, it's a laundrette.
Yeah. See, it throws them so fast that it throws the water all out of them. And then it don't take so much to dry them in the dryer.
Yeah.
Is that Orange Lake?
Yeah. We got it in, and we got the drain wrong on it. We was in such a doggone hurry, you know, that I didn't stop to read the book on it. And we just put it right in just like them other ones, you know, and put a loop on up there, and this here hasn't got no pump on it. It's got to go straight into the drain. See, there ain't no pump on it. There's just a gravity drain on it.
I thought you had quit all that fast work, Mr. Eastman, and sort of
well,
set your pace.
They won't let me. They won't let me.
Well, now, when Faye went down there, she told Ms. Eastman that we wasn't hurting. And just the first time you could take a breather. Now, she didn't hurry you up. Unless your wife did. Now, I don't know what she told you.
Well, there's another fellow down there at Orange Lake Shores. I was supposed to have been down there yesterday and put in a washing machine for them, an automatic washer, but I haven't got there yet.
Yeah. Oh, down there.
Yeah. But I had three jobs in McIntosh that I've done today. I went to Loris Dixon's and done some wiring down there this morning, and then since dinner, I've drained the water out of two places. One of them, that Mrs. McFadden, she's going to Jacksonville for the winter. So we had to drain her place. Well, then there's Myrtle Phillips. That she's in a nursing home in Ocala. And they don't expect that she'll ever come back home. So I shut the electricity off there and drained the water pipes there.
I didn't know that. I thought she was just flourishing, Mr.
Well, she had been, you know. She'd had that spell, you know, and she'd was back home and was doing good. Running around there, and I guess she overdone a little bit, and she had this stroke, and one side's paralyzed, and she's gone just about blind entirely. And I don't know, she can't feed herself or not.
Oh,
you know, she's just about paralyzed.
Well, you know now they can get over it, but
well, they can, but it's very few and far between that do.
Oh no. Oh, you can just be where you can't hardly move. And if you do it right and get the right advice, they'll all come back.
Yeah?
I've seen that again and again. Now, you've seen more than I have.
Well, I hope that she does. I don't know.
Miss Lewis is not paralyzed.
No, God, no. I understood her to say that she was going at 12 o'clock today to Jacksonville Airport to get her sister. But gosh, when I come away from Myrtle Phillips's, she was still there. Well, I misunderstood her somewhere.
Yeah. Well, now, I haven't seen her since way back in the summer. And it's a sort of a tonic. I just love to talk to her every now and then. She peps me up.
Great Lewis.
Yeah. Miss Eason? You don't need such steady work.
Well, I know I don't need it, but then they're right after you every minute. I even get called out of bed in the morning sometimes before I get ready to get up. to go over to the restaurant for something. Something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I called you after you go to bed.
Well? Who is Bartell? I don't know him.
Well, he runs that North Marion Market up there.
Yeah, that's a nice market.
Yeah.
I like to go up there.
Yeah, he runs that store, and then he built that laundrette back there, and then he's got a lunch counter back there. You know, before he built the laundrette, there were four or five different ones in Orange Lake that got in touch with a different laundry manufacturing people to see about putting one in there. And they came down there and they looked around and they advised them not to do it, not to put their money into it, that there wouldn't be enough income to keep it going. My golly, Freddie put that in there, and do you know that that thing is busy from, well, from daylight till pretty near midnight some nights.
And he's making money.
And then he put that lunch counter inside of it in there, and a lot of people laughed about that. My God, you'd be surprised what that's turning over. And you know, the colored people are most of them that take the trade in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a whole center for those colored people.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got colored people from Boardman and over in Farmington. Oh, you know.
A pile of them ready come up there.
Pile of them, yes.
Yeah, and they come clear from Citra over there, see?
Yes.
And Irvin, gee, they come in there to be alone.
Oh, that country's full of colored people. Huh? You see, they don't live right on the road. They got them...
yeah, back in. Well, then you take that lunch counter down there, it's busy most of the time, but there's certain hours that there's a colored girl goes in there to work. And I'm telling you that she is just busy every minute. Boy, the minute that colored girl gets in there, them colored people just flock right in there to beat all.
Is that right?
What do you think it is, Miss
Susan? Well, I don't know, but they flock in there because of the colored girl in there.
Oh, yes. Makes them feel more at home. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he don't have any colored people working in that store.
Well, yeah.
In the North American Market.
Yeah, there's three, four colored boys that work in there.
Yeah. Well, now, they had that that laundry place there. Have had it for a long time, Miss Eastman, but they had such flimsy stuff. Faye went down there a time or two, but she didn't go back. Wasn't worth going to.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
But now they reworked it all.
Yeah.
Put in new stuff.
And they got a lunch counter.
Yeah.
Well, that stuff they put in there didn't weigh out there. It wore out somewhere else.
Yeah. I know he had secondhand stuff in the beginning there.
It looked like third hand.
But, when one of them goes bad, then he gets a new one, you know, to go in there, see?
Yeah.
Now he's put this $1,500 outfit in there.
Yeah. The restaurant over there, Trade Winds. Now that's a pretty nice outfit, isn't it?
Why, fair, yes. We generally figure on eating there about every Sunday, without we go somewhere else off.
Yeah.
Because, as I told Barnard, sometimes through the week I work in here, you know, or nights or something, I'll have a bill. Or I go over and get my dinner, you know, and I go to pay for it, but I got money coming to me, you know, don't you see? I told him, I said, I gotta guess I'm the only one that ever done that. Get my dinner and get money too.
Yeah. Does the tobacco smoke bother you?
Not necessarily.
I don't know. I've got so I go in those public places and they got so much. I remember One time I was down there for breakfast, and everybody looked like they had tobacco burning on the table.
Yeah.
Just like bonfire. Oh, it was sick.
You get into some places, it's really bad that way. And you'd be surprised, the restaurants that you come to on the road, it's got a sign right in the door, bare feet and long hair, not allowed.
Don't tell me.
Bare feet and long hair, not allowed.
You mean in a business place?
In a restaurant. Something right in the door.
That's going pretty far when they won't even trade with them, ain't it? Most people would trade with the devil if he come
long,
up with
long
that.
Hair and bare feet, not allowed.
I hadn't seen that.
You hadn't?
No.
Do you ever go into Morrison's?
Is there a sign there?
Well, they got a sign up there, bare feet, not allowed.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
Is that right? But they didn't draw a line on the hair. Is that it, Ocala?
No, the one up there in Gainesville, the Morrison's in Gainesville.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the Morrison's in Ocala's got a sign there that says bare feet not allowed.
Yeah.
I had a woman tell me one time that the greatest thing about Florida was that you go barefooted in the wintertime.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked to Miss Eastman a little bit down there, and she said that trip, she took a gloomy view of that trip last summer, Miss Eastman.
Yeah.
She said as far as she's concerned, she'd been more contented at home, said it rained all the time.
Well, it didn't rain all the time, but boy, we got into an awful rain up there in Virginia going
yeah.
up.
Yeah, she told us about that. Oh, that would really put you, that really start you off wrong.
Yeah, when that woman pretty near run into us at about 4 o'clock, and we figured I'd drive until about 5. I said, why, the first motel we come to, we're going to stop and stay all night, whether there's a restaurant connected to it or not.
Well, now, you talk about eating over at the trade lands, you don't go somewhere else. But now, I've been down there a time or two, and you ain't at home. You all just visit all around.
On Sunday?
Yes.
Yes, we don't generally eat to home on Sunday.
You don't? No.
Well, last Sunday we headed over to the restaurant, and I presume we will tomorrow. But the week before, it'll be 2 weeks tomorrow, we went on a picnic dinner with the Johnsons.
Yeah.
They live the second place above us. They live up in Pennsylvania in the summer. And we went down to Ocala there to the Golden Drumsticks and got a bucket of chicken. And a pint of beans and a pint of potato salad and some coleslaw. And we went out to one of them parks and had a nice picnic dinner.
Mm-hmm. You know, now that's more like it. There's more pleasure in that than there is going off and eating in those restaurants.
Yeah. Well, then.
Especially when you're going with somebody.
Yeah. A couple, 3 weeks before that, we started out for Sunday drive, and we were going out to get dinner, and I thought we'd get down to Claremont. Well, we got down to Claremont, and they'd changed hands down there and built a new addition on the restaurant, and there's just a big cocktail lounge. Well, I don't like to eat in there where they have all them drinks. So I said, well, we'll go on down the road a ways, and by golly, you know, we wound up clear down to where that Interstate 4 comes across 27, clear way down behind Orlando.
Yeah,
yeah, down there to, what is it, Stookies, I guess.
Yeah.
Went clear down there to eat dinner.
Yeah.
They had quite a ride. Johnson was with us then.
Well, I'll tell you, some of the people over that Cross Creek wanted Trey and me to come over and eat Christmas dinner with them. Oh, well, we didn't eat there. That's family affair, you see, and we're not the family. I told the weather's too pretty. I didn't care about eating Christmas dinner inside. But I don't know how it come up, but somebody said something about a picnic, and I thought to myself, you see, they've got a crowd of children that are a lot of fun, and they're a lot of fun, and they're over there on Loch Lusa or somewhere over there, and it had really got a lot
of
cats.
Well, that's a nice picnic ground there, Rollins.
Yes.
Wouldn't have to drive all over.
No. But what what I think we'll do, at least I hope we'll do, we'll go back someday that's not a legal holiday, you know, and just go on back there in the woods and out there in the swamp or someplace and knock around. They've got wild hogs. You talk about the deer up there. They still got a few, you know, there's still places around here that's got them wild hogs in them.
Yes.
Yeah.
We used to see them over there between Bronson and Cedar Keys, you know.
Yeah.
Beside the road, they'd be rooting to beat all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wild hog.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I first started coming to Florida, you take up in the Carolinas and Virginia, long up in there, in the mountains, you'd see them wild hogs up there, and some of them would be longer than that table. And they stand higher than that table, but you know they wouldn't be on about that thick.
Just look like they're seeing like a wafer.
And some of them had them goddamn tusks a foot long stuck out of their mouth, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now how would you like to meet one of them right out in the lot somewhere?
I sure wouldn't.
Jeez. And you know they'd be most generally they'd be a dozen or better than a bunch. And you know, if one of them started to cross the road, you might just well stop till they all went, because they're bound to go. And you might run over one of them.
Yeah.
In the same way with cows and goats. If them cows are laying down side the road and one of them got up and started to cross the road, you better stop, because they're all going to go. And you meet a bunch of goats, and if one of them started to cross the road, they'd all go too.
Yeah.
Because I come near running into one of them goats. They started to cross the road, you know, and I was going a little too fast to stop quick. Jesus, I pretty near hit him. Mm-hmm. But they say about the worst thing that you can run over in the road is a hog.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're so solid.
Well, but they say that they're slippery.
Oh.
They're getting under the car and... It'll slip you all over everywhere, see? You hit a cow, and they don't do that, but they say that a hog will. I don't know. I never hit any. All I'm just saying what somebody else told me.
Yeah. I never hit one either. But, yeah, they could. Any of those things, Miss Eastman, could cause you trouble if you run into them.
I had a brother one time. He and half a dozen kids in the car. And they were coming down this hill, and there was a bunch of geese started across the road, and he was going too fast to stop. He went right straight through them, and one of the kids looked back. Yeah, Daddy, he says, you only killed one of them. Kid thought he'd only got a half a dozen of them, I guess. He said, you only killed one of them.
You know, I like these night birds. I love to hear the owls.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, dear, didn't you know that when you hear one of them things there, the other bird's life is in danger?
Yeah.
That's what they live on, is the other birds.
Yeah, and the rodents and grasshoppers and all sorts of things. At night, they are out, and if they get close to you, see, they bind it. They call it bind. And I've run into, or over, and that's my own fault. I tell you, I was coming along that Rochelle Road, and it's blacktop, and it's a dark night, and I was feeling sorry for myself, you know, I didn't have my wits about me, and I could have seen him. He was right there on the road, standing there looking at me. And you see, I just didn't come to in time, so I run over to him.
That was an owl?
Yeah.
Hmm?
He was, you know, he was picking up something that had been run over. And he didn't move. I don't know the names of all those things, but he was a beautiful little owl, looking right at me. Let me get my...
You know, what was it you saw on that trip? You saw deer on the trip. Yeah,
we was out to this Johnson's place there, the ones that's living there above us, and the deer jumped over in his garden, you know, and he's guarding them. And we said that one morning, he says, we're in the house and looking out the back window there, and he says, there's a deer right down there by the garden now. You could see her right down there. There was an evergreen tree there, and you could look right through the evergreen tree, see, and see her. A small evergreen tree. And I said, you watch her, and I'll start down that way and see how close I can get to her. Geez, you know, I got right down just about as far as that window from her.
Is that right?
And she was eating the grass there, you know, and you could see that she had one eye right on me all the while she's eating, you know, and I got right down just about like that. And she just trotted right along. She didn't jump and run just as if she was scared.
Yeah.
She just trotted along over and off up into the woods.
Yeah.
And the day that we started to come home, in the morning there, I come out of the house, out the front door, and had two suitcases, and the car set up above the road, and the house is below the road. And I started up there, and I got almost to the road, and the sidewalk had broke up a little bit, see, and I was watching where I was walking, because I had them two suitcases. Got right up there by the road, and I looked up like that, to look up and down the road, see if there's a car coming. Geez, standing right there, side of my car, was two great big buck deer.
Oh, Mr.
Oh, boy, they were a pair of nice ones. And I set the suitcases down and went back down to the house and tell the folks, come out and look at them. And when they come out the front door, the door slammed, the screen door did. Geez, they took off then. They trotted up across the woods there, you know, and they got... well, a little up, just a little kind of upgrade like that, and had a lot of little bushes on there, see, and the woods was up there probably maybe 1,500 feet to get up to the woods line. They went up across there, you know. They got going up there, and they stopped and turned around and looked down at us, and I like that, and geez, when I done like that, boy, they took off. They run on up into the woods.
Now, where was this?
That is up in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. Uh-huh.
Way up in the northwest corner.
Oh.
Up there in Warren, the name of the place.
Uh-huh. And then you came on back?
We come from Warren, come right down the corner, ways down to Culpeper.
Yeah.
Come right down to Culpeper.
Mr. Eastman, that old stove's coming apart. You think I can fix that, or should I get a new one?
Where's it coming apart?
Inside. Just drop her down there and look inside. See them little rims and all?
Yeah. Well, if you're in the right place, you could get one of them. Thing of them is to make the blaze come around, you know.
I didn't really know what it was for, how it worked.
Mr. Change the same as you get the flow of the air come up, see? And that there kind of make them come around like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's just not in the right place.
Well, it looks to me as though that them things had got hot enough so that they're all bent.
Oh. Oh, you go ahead.
Thank you, Miss Eva.
Well, I don't know what would be simpler. Just shop around for a new stove, try to get some of them. You wouldn't find them anywhere.
Sheridan Roebuck. If you're ever in Sheridan Roebuck up there to Gainesville, just ask them about one of them.
Yeah. I thought you might run across. Do you still go to the auction?
They don't have any down there now.
What in the world?
I don't know. They quit, and the fellow went to Bellevue, and they said he was going to run an auction down there, but God, he's just running a store down there and selling second-hand stuff.
Yeah, well, he just had enough auction stuff, hadn't he? Looked to me like that'd be more interesting than a store.
Why, yes, I would think so, too.
And less work. You know, these stores, Mr. Eastman, if you keep your stock up, they just work the pie out of you.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. It's more work than keeping that store going.
Well, now you take this store down here, the McIntosh. Them new fellas down there, you know.
Yes.
Well, they're getting in some new stuff. But they're running more to the hardware than they are anything else.
Yeah.
You know, them fellas coming up in my country.
Down there just recently?
Yeah. There's two fellas in there. One fellow's name is Reddick. And he was in the store just when he first come there. And they said he was from New York State. And I said, what part of New York State? He says, Phoenix. Jesus, I said, Phoenix, I didn't know about 35 miles from where I come from. He said, where'd you come from? I said, Munnsville. Munnsville, he says. God, he says, that's where my grandparents lived.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they did. I said, what was their name? He says, Creaser. See, they're Polish. Creaser, and they had a big foundry there. See, where the Munnsville foundry, where they made the Munnsville plows and all of that stuff. And they was molders, you know, see? And I said, Creasers? I said, God, I said, I knew them for years when they was there. I said, there was old John and young John and Ted and Frank and the girl's name of Dorothy. Yeah, he says, them are my uncles and my aunt. And, but his mother was one of the older daughters, and she was married before her folks come there to Munnsville, so I didn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
But now she's Reddick's mother had just come down for to spend Christmas down here, and here I guess probably a week, 10 days ago, she went to go outdoors one morning, She went to open the back door, and there's so damn much snow that she couldn't open the door. So that's awful snowy country up in there.
Yeah.
They always got a lot more snow up in there than we did.
Yeah.
Geez, when we'd have 6 inches down home there, they might have 6 feet.
Hmm.
And all up through there. See, that's right up more on the end of Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
And the west wind comes right in, you know, and comes over the water and it dumped that snow right in there, see?
Yeah.
And we were south of that, see?
Yeah.
About, well, from 35 to 50 miles south of there, see? Well, then his brother-in-law,
yeah.
Those two fellows are brother-in-laws down here. The one, his name is Reddick, and the other is Dormeyer. And Dormeyer comes from Fulton. See, Reddick married this Dormeyer girl, and it's her brother that's here with him.
Well, you know what I thought of? I've been down there several times, and nobody much in the store. And what came to me was that we'd better start trading down there and give them something to stay for.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, we'd miss that store, Mr. Eastman, if that was not there.
Yeah. Well, I bought about $10 worth of stuff there this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Plumbing stuff.
Yeah. Well, hardware, hardware, would that include all your plumbing and stuff like that? Just not lumber.
Yeah.
Posts and all like that.
I don't know whether they're going in much for lumber or not.
Well, they tend to go in for it. It's so hard to get it.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Well, they've got some stuff there, and they're trying to get rid of what they got before they buy any more.
So. Oh, they are? I wonder what sort of figure they had to put up for
By
that.
God, I don't know. I know what Wynn asked for.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a lot of money, Mr. Eastman.
What he asked for it and what he got might be quite a ways apart.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I was awfully surprised to go into that house that Bill Wynn moved out of up there.
Yeah.
See that, what's his name there, bought it? John Walkup.
Yeah, Walkup.
Well, geez, you know, that house there, if Wynn hadn't done anything into it and lived there 3-4 more years, the damn house would fell down. Jesus, it was in awful shape inside. I was awfully surprised to go in there and see.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Johnny Walkup had spent a lot of money in there fixing that up.
What was the trouble, chiefly the trouble?
Geez, the plaster all loose and coming off.
Oh, gee.
Hadn't been painted, you know, and the damn paint was all peeling and coming off.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like the very devil in there.
Lord help us, I thought he lived in a mansion.
Jesus, I did too. The damn linoleum, you know. In some of the rooms, the linoleum was all curled up on the edges there and broke in the middle.
Yeah.
No, John had to spend a lot of money fixing that up.
Yeah. Oh, once you get into that plastering and painting, it goes fast, don't it? And that house, look how big that is.
Yeah. Oh, geez, a big old house.
Yeah. But it looks like such a nice house.
Yeah.
And anybody living there, you see, have a lot of extra space. I just love extra space. Now, you take down your house, you see. You had a little extra space,
yeah,
but
I ain't got enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, another thing, the plumbing in there, the plumbing was all gone bad. Jesus, we put in new pipes and new pipes and new pipes down there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I never realized that plumbing goes bad eventually. And especially this old extreme heat. That sort of coming, and that goes right higher.
Well, John Walker told me that he cut off $5,000 on what Wynn asked for that place, because he thought to take probably half of that to fix it up. Jesus,
mm-hmm.
John says, I guess if I get out of it for the whole amount, he says, I'll be doing good.
Oh. Well, it's a nice place. Don't you say it's a? Don't you like that place?
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Beautiful place. Yeah. You know, I think a lot of those places down there, I hate to see them run down. You know, the way they will in time. Like Lois's mm-hmm. place. You see, she keeps it up so nice. And in the old days, them houses, it's just first. It's nice. And somebody, now, your friend Odom over there, he was big on that auction too, Mr.
Yeah.
You all used to have a big time over there.
Yeah.
Well, what do you do with your time now?
We don't do anything, I guess. I'd like to see something else start up there or something. See another auction start there. But they say there's somebody looking after that to buy it for some reason. I don't know what they want it for.
Well, I think an auction is a whole lot more fun than a bingo game or something like that. I don't want to sit around pushing peas on a card all evening.
Well, we used to run a bingo game there at Orange Lake once a week. We used to get quite crowds to that, but that kind of fizzled out.
What are you going to do for, Odom going to do for space over there? You see, he got that basement there just full of that old furniture.
I know he has. he keeps buying more all the time.
Yes, he's not letting it go. He's picking up more. Yes, sir. Well, that shed out there, he can't put good stuff out there.
He's putting quite a lot of stuff out there. On the back side of that.
Yeah. Won't the weather get it?
Now he's got quite a lot of I can't think of the name of that doggone lumber now. Chestnut. He got a lot of chestnut lumber and stuff out in there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, geez, if he could get around, you know, that stuff would bring him quite a lot of money.
Yeah. Is your old boss doing any better over there at Hargett's?
Well, that's Hargett's, you know. They cleaned the house out and took that furniture and stuff all up into Georgia.
Yeah.
On account of that Hammond organ, you know, they wanted to get that up there in Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, they could move everything just as cheap as they could move that Hammond organ. And so they moved everything up there. Well, then that Miller was taking care of the place there, or checking on it. Doing what there was there, but he wouldn't take care of it, you know. God, there's a lot of people come there when I was putting the roof on, wanting to rent for the winter. Miller wouldn't rent it to them. So now, Miller has moved out of there. He's gone to Tampa to sell Bibles. And there's a little fellow that's got a trailer in there that he works in the post office in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of looking out for it, what is looked out for it, but they ain't too much done down there about it.
No. So
it's just going, you know.
Yeah.
I was putting a roof on down there one day. Car stopped. I see there's an Ohio license on it. fella come over there and he rapped on the door. He see me on the roof and he started up the ladder up to the eaves. He says, "Where's Charlie?" I said, "Charlie's down in Millwood." "Well, how long before he's coming back?" "Well," I said, "Charlie won't be back." I said, "Charlie died and we buried him down there." "Well," he says, "where's Nan? I'll talk to her." "Well," I said, "Nan got lonesome for Charlie, so we buried her down there too." The fellow threw off his hat, and by God, he says, "I never heard of anything like that." And he says, "You know, I'd seen him there before when I come to look at him." He says, "I always stopped and stayed a day or two with Charlie on the way down from Ohio, down to Miami. And I always stopped and stayed on the way back in the spring. But," he says, "last spring," he says, "I had some friends with me and we didn't stop," he says, "and went right straight through." And he says, "that's where we missed it."
Have you figured up my account? Including that morning over there.
Oh, Jesus, I don't know.
I don't know why I got such cold feet. I just turned the tape over. Faye had gone. At 7:65 or 7:60, I turned the tape over. I didn't even run it out, you see. I turned the tape over at 7:65. Now here it is, 7:70. Channel one over, and that's the end of this side, and all this other to go. A quarter of it left. Mr. Eastman's visit, and I'll continue it now. This channel one over, around 7:75, and is continued on the other side, and it'll be way on up too.